Today I'm going to invite you to embrace the opportunity to grow just a little bit younger. Anyone want to grow a little younger? If the tomb is empty, and it is, then consider what else is possible. If you're a kid, you might not actually want to grow younger. You might want to get older. Don't worry, you will. But growing younger, that's something altogether different. Maybe not younger in age, but instead what Jesus is talking about here are five qualities that every Jesus follower can embrace that will help you become what Jesus calls childlike in your faith. So becoming younger, childlike in your faith. So that's important, Cheryl, because why?
I think Diem said the kingdom belongs to those with a faith like a child.
That's right. So the little children and Jesus, Mark 10. So thank you for preaching with me today. We're going to team teach here. And so it's Cheryl's opportunity to get back at me for all the things that I use her as an example for. So the little children and Jesus, Mark 10. Cheryl, would you read the first verse 13?
Certainly. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them.
All right. So why in this passage is Jesus upset?
Because he didn't want anyone to think that children were unimportant.
Okay. So the disciples thought in here that they were doing Jesus a favor. They were keeping all these little kids from pestering him, all these people from bringing all the little children. They didn't consider them as important. But Jesus had something else in mind. So as we read these next couple verses in this passage, we see what Jesus has to say about this, beginning in verse 14.
When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
So this is a fairly short passage, but there's some really key important points in here. Jesus shows us what qualities we are to exhibit as his disciples, not always what we might expect. So what seems to be the primary quality here, Cheryl?
Faith like a child.
All right, you got all the right answers.
Yes,
huh?
I do.
I was on the Hope Evangelism webinar in a breakout with Jessica Springer. She's director of Children and Evangelism for Local Mission in the Evangelical Covenant Church. All to say that she describes what this childlike quality is and why it's so important for us as missional disciples. And it's because children are natural evangelizers. In their being, they just exude God's presence and invite people to share in that.
So, yeah. A child's spirituality, it involves their whole being. So everything they do is for the glory of God and worship of God. And here's why we think this is the key. They don't draw people to Jesus through some great evangelistic event at the church. They simply express their spiritual lives in everything that they do, their ordinary play and things that they do.
So everyday, ordinary moments. I think that's the key. Children, they are within themselves receptive and they are dependent. And that's the quality that Jesus describes as those who possess the kingdom of God. So how do we experience the kingdom of God in this kind of all-in, surrendered kind of faith like a child? So one way is actually more play, more wonder, more hunger, more imagination, more willingness to learn and to grow. Ultimately, more of what the author Brad Roth calls an authentic, in-our-place kind of faith.
Did I just hear you say that you have an excuse to play more?
Yes. I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. So that, we're going to unpack this, and I'm going to ask you to take on a quality of faith that some of you, I think, will be very receptive to. Some, I suspect, this will be a little harder for. I think for most of us, we are actually probably welcoming this invitation to reclaim a kind of new life in Christ that Jesus invites us to that imitates what it is to be this receptive child. So Jesus is clear. He says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Those are pretty strong words. like a little child. Real ministry author Brad Roth, he's from Kansas, he describes this kind of fruit of the Spirit rule of life. The final quality in this fruit of the Spirit, he says, is self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then this idea of self-control. Self-control, he describes as being authentic in your place. For some reason, that really kind of grabs hold of my heart. It's like being the true who we are, where we are. And Jesus says the true who we are is a person with childlike faith. So Cheryl, what does that start with?
It begins with everyday wonder. So Tim mentioned Jessica Springer, and I've been working with her on the Children and Family Transition Team, and now I'm on the, it's a big word, Children's Ministry Catalyst Team. This team has done some really good foundational work, some groundwork into setting the priorities and focus for empowering leaders and resourcing churches so that children can better get to know who God is, how to live out their faith, how to walk in his ways, and how to share his faith, share their faith with others. And so that's what we're going to talk about today in this final blessed message, sharing Jesus with others. Jesus inspired awe wherever he went. Crowds were amazed at his teaching. In Mark chapter 1, we read, "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' said Jesus sternly. 'Come out of him.' The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching and with authority.'" What did you hear in that, Tim?
Well, I think that I hear that people are amazed at what Jesus is teaching and amazed at the power Jesus has.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you, all of you. When was the last time that you were amazed by Jesus? Crowds were amazed by his healing. In Matthew chapter 9, we read, "And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, 'Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel.'" I've been a recipient of this healing many years ago. I'm still in awe and wonder today of God's willingness to answer that prayer. So some of you know this story, but I used to yell at my children. And I have an oldest daughter who likes to push my buttons. And my response was sometimes yelling. Well, one day I had a trip planned to do some errands, and as I left the house, she pushed my buttons, I yelled at her, and I left. I got in my car, and I was deeply convicted by the Holy Spirit to just sobbing tears that I was hurting my children the way I was yelling at them. And so I realized that I needed to ask God for healing, and I asked God to give me a new voice and to take away the anger that was inside of me. When I returned home that day, I walked in the door, and yes, she pushed my button just about immediately. But I think it was the Lord allowing me to realize that he had heard my cry, because I turned to say something, and out of me came something I had never heard before. It was a new voice. It was calm. It was gentle. And I was able to speak the truth without harm. I have received that healing, and I still today say, "Jesus, I'm in awe of you that you would do that for me." People were amazed by his healing, and people were amazed by his authority. In Luke chapter 4, all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. It is easy as an adult to lose the wonder and awe of God. What has amazed you lately? What has made you stop and consider the goodness of God that could help you rekindle the childlike wonder? I went to some grad parties these last 2 weekends and have spoken to some young men and women who are prepared for the next step in their journey. I saw wonder in their determination, in their excitement, in their apprehension, in their accomplishments, in their art, in their openness to share with me their hopes and aspirations. Can you make room for the Holy Spirit to draw you into his wonder? One of our favorite ways to experience wonder is in nature. We did that this week. The mountains, the sea, the big trees, Tim's sense of adventure that always pushes me just a little farther. You can't look at those pictures and not see the glorious wonder in God's creation. Yes, that's a slug as wide as Tim's shoe.
I was wondering what would happen if I stepped on him and slid.
So I have a few suggestions for you. They come from Sarah Howley. They are suggestions to practice wonder. To sit outside and take in the trees, the sky, the light, without an agenda. To read a psalm or a familiar Bible story out loud and pause where your heart stirs. Or let a child's perspective of a moment or a moment of discovery interrupt your routine. This weekend, our grandson experienced a toad for the first time. So now his dad was trying furiously not to let him squish the toad, but Timothy was excited to see this little toad hopping all around him, narrowly escaping his grip several times. To see the joy on both of their faces as they experience the wonder of a toad together is something that can bring me back to a sense of awe and wonder of God. Being mindful of his goodness and his creation, his provision, his love, and his great sacrifice. Our shuttle bus driver, before we disembarked back to the airport, strangest thing, he picks up his mic and he says, "Remember on your journey, take it all in." Okay, I've never heard that from a bus driver before. Well, the Seattle airport has fish, bronze fish, inlaid in the floor. These fish are laid in a stream, and then randomly they'll school together, as you can see in the picture. We saw a young boy stop and exclaim to his mom, "Mom, there's a really big one." Well, further down the hallway, Tim says to me, "Cheryl, follow the stream." Well, my mind says, that would take forever, and people would think I'm silly. But not Tim. He starts following the stream with a little boyish grin on his face.
And I think that's kind of a metaphor for life. You know, when you think about an airport and people are intent on what? Getting to their destination, right? Get on the plane, the time schedule, straight line, got to get to my seat. And, you know, there's all the stream that wanders through there. And I think that God invites us not just to, like, have blinders on and go forward, but actually take the winding stream sometimes and experience the wonder that God has in all of life and all of creation, whatever that might be. So that could be, like, the one thing this message you hear is to stop this summer and take in the wonder of God. That'd be a great step in helping kindle our childlike faith. So wonder, that's the first quality. Second quality would be an importance of a sense of humor. Now, I want to remind those that are sitting in view or in the line of the camera here that when you stand up to sing in worship, those watching online can see the back of your head. And I just want to let you know, we love the back of your head. I was sitting on bleachers watching our kids or some of our grandkids do a dance recital. And the guy sitting behind me is up one bleacher. He says to me, he says, "Nice cranium." I said, turn around, like, "Thanks." He goes, you know, there are two kinds of people. I said, "Okay." He said, "Those with beautiful craniums and those with hair." So I like a good sense of humor, you know. But I think Scripture is probably going a little deeper here than just that and talking about this childlike faith. But a childlike sense of humor. Kids are naturally drawn to this idea of embracing or welcoming the importance of humor. Luke 10, and Jesus expresses, I think, this childlike characteristic. And so as I read this, think about if you see any of this childlike wonder, sense of humor. It says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was what you were pleased to do. Another translation says, yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. There's this sense of joy, this sense of wonder, this embracing, I think, of a sense of humor that allows for God's pleasure to live within us. So C.S. Lewis, he describes it as the laughter of the earth of our bodies. You know, like the spirit incarnate within us, enjoying and laughing in life. The author Terry Linville, he writes about C.S. Lewis in a book called Surprised by Laughter. He describes this sense of humor, its importance as laughter of play in its best sense. You know, we talk about more play. Laughter induces some of this. I think children have a way of experiencing joy as a regularly anticipated part of life, but also they display a response to laughter. There's almost a readiness to laugh. It's kind of this contagious expression, I think, of joy and wonder as we experience what it means to be God's children. So one of my favorite things to do is make my grandson laugh, or our grandkids. Getting them to smile, that's awesome. But getting a laugh, man, there is nothing more enjoyable than that. And I think, what's behind that? Well, I think it's God's design. And God's children, they display it. The Westminster Catechism reminds us that our chief end, you know, what's our purpose in life? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So we believe in God, we worship God, we honor God. But children do this all in one fell swoop of enjoying God by welcoming in this sense of humor. Enjoying God. Eric Lindell in Chariots of Fire, he expressed saying, I feel God's pleasure when I run, this joy, this sense of awe. Terry Lindell concludes that when we laugh and enjoying God, we know His pleasure. We think about, you know, in our laughter, what about God? How does God feel about this? God's joy, God's pleasure within us. And a childlike faith knows God's pleasure by embracing this sense of humor. And I think it's probably best expressed in kids taking a lighthearted way of engaging life, without taking everything too seriously. So I think about that. Maybe we can all learn from that a little bit. Delighting is part of this joy, this sense of humor, this lightness that allows us not to take life so seriously. We get to play. So when is the last time you let yourself experience this kind of play? In Port Angeles on Puget Sound, I was driving a rental car that I thought was a beautiful color of sky blue. I kept asking Cheryl, how do you like our blue car? And she said, it's blue. when I pulled up to a stoplight, this tall pickup pulled up beside me, and a young woman in the passenger seat had her window down, and she's like, you know, motioning me to roll down my window. So I'm like, okay. I rolled down my window, and she says, why is your car so blue? I didn't know what to say. I mean, that doesn't happen to me that often. So I think Cheryl was intrigued sitting there beside me. The first thing that came to my mind was I just shouted it out, well, to match my eyes. And she looked at me kind of funny and she says, your eyes are yellow. And I looked at Cheryl like, what's she talking about? She says, you have yellow sunglasses on. So, you know, I think we can embrace this childlike importance of humor, not taking life too seriously, instead taking delight in your life. So a childlike faith demands it. So that was second quality, embracing a sense of humor.
So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writes, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you with the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Paul spoke with humility, and he boasted only in Jesus and his death and resurrection. And our goal is not to become followers of people or leaders or pastors or teachers. Our goal is to become followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. And Paul reminds us in this passage that it's not our intelligent evangelistic argument that saves people. It's the Holy Spirit's power at work in and through us that changes hearts. Children, in their vulnerability and their eyes wide open, eagerness to learn, they simply put their trust in Jesus. This is how we adults ought to seek him, right? And depend on him. However, it's easy. I think it's easy to be guarded and doubtful and untrusting. One night at midweek, after presenting the gospel, I had a student say, I really ought to do that. And 2 weeks later, that same kid put their faith and trust in Jesus and then shared publicly that faith step that they had taken that night. This is one example of childlike faith: hearing, believing, and taking a step of faith. This is the power of God at work in that child, right? At Vacation Bible School, we practice watching for God. We call them God sightings. The kids come each night after their daytime of play. They come back to Vacation Bible School, and they share with their crew and crew leaders their guide sightings for the day. Kids see God in everything around them. You grandparents out there, one of the big God sightings that I hear almost every year is, my grandpa or my grandma took me to the pool to swim. Did you know that you're a God sighting just by simply taking your kids to the pool? Their God sightings have no limit. It's the kindness of a friend who invited them along to play ball or go to the park. Their pets, kids find so much joy and pleasure and wonder in their pets. A sunset, butterflies, playing at the park with friends, someone sharing a snack with them when they didn't have one. Children embody faith. And some of you do this very well. And some of us can do better. Some of us can be reminded from our children what it looks like to embody faith, such as when we listen and care and pray with a friend, that's embodied faith. When you bring someone to church, when you walk alongside a grieving friend, when you give someone a ride to a doctor appointment, embodied faith includes our whole being. And James is clear on this one. He writes in chapter 2, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." We are called to imagine what it looks like to embody a childlike faith.
Yeah, so as we talk about application and this childlike faith, the first idea was having a sense of awe. Maybe that's the take home for you, is just to live in a moment in a sense of awe of who God is. And the second one then is the idea of embracing humor. You know, not taking life quite so seriously, allowing you to just enjoy the journey as we go and enjoy God's joy. And then finally, we have this idea of embodied living, you know, living out our faith in all that we are, all that we do in life. And then the next one is the role of imagination. So I think the best illustration of this, the role of imagination, actually comes from the Gospels, each Gospel, but Luke 24 here. Just listen to this. On the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared, went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." The tomb is empty. He is risen.
He's risen indeed.
The role of imagination here is that if the tomb is empty, then what else is possible? Kids seem to have this highly resilient way of imagining good. So they don't automatically go down this dark road that worries about all the bad things that happen. Instead, they have this childlike faith and trust that God is good and God has a good plan for me. And this is where our imagination, I think, can do us good or it can, you know, do us harm. So think about this. Does your imagination automatically take you to those dark places or does it embrace empty tomb possibilities? I know things seem impossible, but man, the tomb is empty. God can do all things through Christ who loves us. So childlike imagination doesn't say, you know, I'm going to plan for all the bad things so if they happen, then I'm not disappointed. Instead, their faith imagines, what good things can I experience? So Cheryl has mentioned, you know, our kids imagine that if I invite my friends to Bible Blast, then my friends are going to come and they're going to have all the same kind of fun that I have at Bible Blast, learning about Jesus, being with my friends. So they say, I'm inviting my friends because they're going to have a blast. So is that what your imagination says when you think about inviting someone to worship or to church or to experience a community with you? You know, I want to invite my friends to church, but I don't know if they're going to want to come. What if they don't? What if they think I'm being pushy? You know, will they stop hanging out with me? Will they stop talking to me? Maybe I'm better off waiting to see if they'll ask me if I will bring them to church with them, and then instead I'm just going to wait, see if they ask. You know, childlike faith can imagine God's goodness. It imagines the best outcomes. It imagines what I can do now. What can be better? So your imagination, it's a powerful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to imagine all that is good and right and true and to imagine how God can work in and through our lives to impact and affect those who are around us. Imagine the powerful renewal of God's word and God's grace and God's love as it's demonstrated through you to others around you. So a childlike faith embraces this healthy imagination of what God can do through you. So don't stop asking yourself, if the tomb is empty, what else is possible? What can God do through me? So Cheryl, the last quality is a childlike faith, freedom to learn and grow and make mistakes. So this is your opportunity. Have I ever made mistakes? No, it's unscripted. Here you go.
Yes, we all do.
We all do. That was a nice way of saying it. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6, it's a quote from Proverbs 3. It says, my son, so all of us, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Now, this idea of discipline, rebuke, it's like the Lord's correction. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So, you know, sometimes we are despair over the consequences of, you know, our bad decisions and, you know, how does God allow those things to happen in our lives? Sometimes we have to embrace that God is correcting us. God is chasing us. God is disciplining us for our own good. God loves us. God wants what's best for us. And he allows sometimes those things to shape and form us and bring us into his goodness, his love, his grace, his plan for our lives. So we remember, God wants to bless you. Jesus says it takes faith, like a little child, to receive what God is giving. So you are blessed to be a blessing. So the last verse in this passage, it says that Jesus didn't just rebuke his disciples for hindering the little children. Cheryl, what does verse 16 say there?
And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
So that word in the Greek, bless, it actually means to bless intently, intensely, powerfully. God really desires to bless. And God's love is overflowing for these children that are being brought to him. The disciples are preventing the children from receiving God's overflowing blessing, but they're also doing something else. They're keeping Jesus from being able to bless these children, something he deeply desires to do. So what the point here is that Jesus wants to fiercely bless you. He wants to fiercely bless you so that you can play with him in a thousand places, by embracing a childlike faith, fully trusting with wonder and joy, faith that receives his blessing and passes it on as a blessing to others. So you are blessed to be a blessing. Now that you know it, go and bless your world. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for creating in us the ability to receive you like a little child. Lord, this understanding of our dependence on you completely and fully. Lord, an understanding of receptivity, of just embracing you by faith, like a little child. Lord, help us to live in that childlike faith. Not childish, Lord, but childlike. Allow us, Lord, to experience your joy and pleasure. A sense of humor, Lord, that is willing to not take life so seriously that we can't actually enjoy it along the journey. To enjoy you forever, God. We know that you call us to live with you, and at the heart of this message that Jesus gives about childlike faith is this acceptance of your goodness and grace. Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for us to forgive us, to open a way for us to be in a right relationship with you, to be received as little children by you. And so, Lord, for those of us who have accepted you, help us to live into this faith with complete trust. For anyone either here or online listening that hasn't yet put their trust and faith in you like a child, the invitation stands right now. Jesus stands at the door knocking. If anyone, he says, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and be with them and eat with them. You will be saved. If that's you today, then put your trust in Jesus by simply asking, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for dying for me. Fill me with your life and your spirit, that I may enjoy you forever. Thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.